The following shiur has been presented by Rav Daniel Dombrov, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. The center can be reached for halachic services, consultations, and shilas at 888-485-VAAD or at thehalachacenter.org.
Before we begin, I just want to give a small disclaimer that the halachas that we are going to be discussing are very much relevant halacha l'maisa, and the purpose of these shiurim is just to give us a little bit more of a time and a feel for the inyanim that we'll be discussing, but by no means should be used halacha l'maisa. One should certainly seek guidance from a rav should these issues come up in an area of l'maisa. We begin today Perek Haroya Kesem, a Perek in Maseches Nida, which deals with most of the halachas of Hilchas Ksamim. And we will try and get to the details as we move along the parak. But let's stop for a moment and let's just give some background, some basic background, contrasting the Dine Derais, the Dine Torah, with the Dine Rabbanan. So by now I'm sure we're all familiar with the basic halachas of Nida, which is that a woman will typically see Dam on approximately a monthly basis. And that will give her din tuma for 7 days, midaraisa. And during that period, she's considered an erva to her husband. She's a surah labaila and with an einish of karis. We do have an interesting distinction between nida and other arayas in the sense that yichud is permitted, which we offset that heter with the harchokis, the halachas of where we are machmir in keeping a distance from a nida more than we do by a regular erva. There's always a halacha of lesikrivu by an arayis. There's always a halacha that we have to stay away from an erva more than just the actual maisabiyya. But when it comes to a nida, we have a whole additional set of harchakis, which the idea is to balance out the heter yichud with to ensure that things stay proper. Now, in order to become a nida deraisa, the Gemara has an interesting requirement, interesting condition, which is that when she sees dam, there has to be a hargasha. Hargasha means that the dam leaves her body. She experiences the dam leaving her body. There's a sensation that will take place, and there's a few different types of hargashas that the place can talk about. There are three basic hargashas that are discussed. There's the hargasha where She's margish psichas pia makar. She actually feels the rechem opening up to release the dam. And even, let's say, in that situation, even should she find nothing, we will actually have to be metame her. Even if there's no actual finding of dam. And the reason is because there's something happened there. The rechem opened up. And the rule is, ein psichas pi hakever b'lei dam. If the rechem opens up, that means something's going on. And the only way out of this predicament will be if we can find something else, a mara tahira, to attribute the psichas pi makar to. In other words, that is to say that the din deraisa of dam nida doesn't mean any fluid that the body releases is going to be metamehar. And not even any dam that goes out of her body is metamehar. Even within dam itself, midaraisa, the Mishnah says there's five shades of red that will be metamehar, and that's what it's limited to. Other shades, even within the reds, are midaraisa, not metamehar. And that's not how we go on a practical level, already in the Gemara, talks about it being too difficult to really discern between these colors, and we are metame anything which is neitel ad mimos, anything which leans towards red. And obviously, there's that's the fi ro'is enei ha'mayra. That's the Rav's discretion based on his Masaira determining that, but we definitely have a broader definition of what's Tameh than the Mishnayos talk about. Now, suppose a woman will find some dam and had no sense of hargasha. Let's go back and just go through the other two hargashas. So we have the psichas pia kever, and then we also have a hargasha which is where the body is nizdaza kalgufa. She has some sort of tremor that goes through her body, indicating this change going on where the rechem is releasing dam. It's another type of hargasha, and then the third type of hargasha, which some places can go with, which is where there's a where she's feels a zivas davarlach. She feels something flowing, and means flowing in the higher up in the guf, not obviously when it leaves the guf. That's obviously a no brainer. That she's definitely gonna sense. But this is in the proizdar, in the canal. There's a feeling of zivas davarlach. Now, the truth be told is that today it's quite rare that a woman will have any of these hargashas. There have been some reported findings of women having hargashas, but it's really an anomaly, and generally speaking, a woman will not have a hargasha. Which obviously leaves us with the question, so how do we have a need today? We'll talk about that shortly. So that's the din d'oraisa of nidus. Now the Rabbanan came along and said that even if that doesn't happen, a woman does not have that experience, and the term that we use there is called a riyah stam nidus, but rather than having a riyah stam nidus, rather she has what's the term used as matza kesem. She finds a kesem. In other words, she didn't experience the dam leaving her guf. She wasn't aware there was no such experience, but she did find dam. So in that case, the Rabbanu came along and said it's tameh. And the Ran gives an explanation for that, to understand it, is that the dam itself has a din tumah. Irrelevant of that which makes her tummy, the dam itself has a tumma. Makar makar matame, the dam itself has a tumma from being in the makar. And when the dam, when she'll find dam on her beged, I guess most typically, the beged is really makabel tumma. And that being the case, it's to go ahead and be matame the beged and leave her clean, leaves like an element of discrepancy from the perspective of the Rabbanans, and therefore we give her the din, the same din, and we're going to give her the status of Tumah as well, based on the findings of the Dam on the Beged, which was Matami the Beged. So that's the idea. She finds a Kesem, it's a problem, there's a Beged that she's Tame, or some other Keli that's Tame, she gets the same din, and we give her the din Tumah. So now, what do we do today? We're going to see there's going to be a number of kulos that we have on this din d'rabbanan of ksamim. We'll talk about them in later shiur. What do we do today? Like we said, where women are not experiencing these hargashas. How does that? Where does that leave us? Just an interesting. Point here. We have a similar idea where there's some sort of change in the woman's body, if you will, when it comes to vestics. Also, we find in the Rishonim that the norm was to have a ves kavua, a set time. And again, today that's pretty much an anomaly. It's usually when somebody will get three in a row to make a ves kavua. Usually it's in many cases it was a mikra, even though it's a chazaka, and we don't say it's a mikra, and we will treat it like that. But it's usually based on mikra. And although obviously there are exceptions, and there are women who will have a ves kavua, it's an anomaly, and it's not the standard. So I was told an interesting story that, I believe it was Diane Donner from England, I'm not certain about that, had made a trip out to Tayman, to Yemen, and he was visiting the Jewish community there. And one of the things he brought up with them is he asked the women or the people in the community, let me see your calendars for keeping track of vestis. And they said, we don't have calendars. What does that mean? You don't keep vestis? So they looked at him strangely and they said, what do we need? We don't need calendars for that. We know it's the 20th day at 4 o'clock in the afternoon is the vest comes. And what do we need to, what does it need a calendar for? So the theory is that in a more primitive country where this generally things are run a little more naturally, so the body runs more naturally, the natural course of the body will be to have a ves kavua. And as well, I'm not certain about that, this was his findings in Tayman, but that the body will also sense more of its internal workings and will have this hargasha. As opposed to today, where there's a lot more artificial things going on in our society, so that may have dulled and numbed the senses and altered perhaps the vestis as well. Regardless, there today is unusual for a woman to have hargasha. Nonetheless, the consensus, by and large, the consensus of the Paiskim is that when a woman has her period, she will be needed d'oraisa. And there's a few different variations of how to explain it. Some say invoke a concept called argasha v'lavadaita, that there is a hargasha, she's just not actually sensing it, she's not aware of it. Or possibly we could say that the hargasha is what creates, rather than just being a little dam that left her body, it's an experience which can be defined as nidus. But when it's the nidus itself, in other words, the body's clearly going through the nidus period, possibly that itself is the greatest hargasha, where it's ein lecha riya gedolah mizu. The body's going is clearly going through nidus. And that itself has the chashivas of a hargasha. But like I said, it's the general consensus is that when a woman has her period, she'll be nida deraisa, and none of the kulas will be applicable. Be'ezus Hashem, we'll talk about the kulas in our next year.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.